The Drive with Rob and Roz. Jacaranda FM.
Playing well with Christelle. I feel kind of like today we need spy music.
Yeah, we possibly do. So we're talking the bugging device that was found in Eskom CEO André Dereiter's car.
A bug. In the movies, plants a bug.
The size of a postage stamp.
Yeah. Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And capable of transmitting location and potentially recording audio. Mm-hmm. So not just a bug that Joe would plant in my car. I'm not important enough, I think, for Joe to bug. But yeah, it has serious implications. So we saw this in the Sunday newspapers and we have chatted to the Institute for Security Studies. But before we even get to that, I think one has to start with who realistically has the capacity to plant such a device.
Where do you get one? Yeah.
There's a lot of questions about this because this is the kind of device used by security agencies and the police, for example. But you would need to have access to the CEO's car, for example. And the CEO has spoken extensively about the criminal networks within Eskom.
Yes, and that actually came up last week when there was the reconstitution of the board and Praveen Gordhan mentioned that there is an element of sabotage that is happening with the constant load shedding, that it's not always something technical that's gone wrong, it's something technical gone wrong that someone's actually done. So maybe that's where this is coming from.
And linked with state capture. So absolutely, exactly that. Because any criminal network, you have levels and you need people on the ground that do the dirty work, that switch off something that shouldn't be switched off, open an incorrect valve by accident, that kind of thing. But you also have a higher level linked to what we've seen discussed extensively in state capture and the capture of our institutions. And that is big money. And big money is potentially deadly money.
Absolutely. I'm still stuck on this. The bug was found inside Dereiter's car.
His personal car.
Because you're just saying, well, who has access? And I'm going through who has access to my car during the day. I mean, my keys are with me. They live in my pockets.
Yeah.
Like, no one's going to have access to my car. So the fact that people are getting in, you know, I mean, how many people could pick up, Joe Man, your car keys and get access to your vehicle during the day without you knowing about it, realistically?
Well, look, I mean, I suppose that's the thing about the kind of criminal networks that you have. I mean, if you're working with engineers and mechanical engineers, surely they can, you know, just re-engineer your key and copy it and just code it to open your car and then Bob's your uncle and switch off camera. I mean, I know I'm going into spy movie mode now and switching off cameras and things, but it's not impossible.
No, it's not.
And then the question is also comes back to, when is this being done? It's something someone that knows, or people that know his schedule, they know how long he spends in, like, if he just decided, okay, I'm going to go get lunch somewhere instead of eating lunch at the office, like, it would have to be someone that knew what his movements are, with or without that bug in the car.
And what, so we spoke to Willem Els from the Institute for Security Studies, and he points out things like, post-pandemic, most people are using their car as an office. You've got Bluetooth dialing, you're making your calls there, so the kind of intelligence that you can get on the organization by tapping his car is significant. But then we asked him, what do you do now? And I think this is interesting, so I'm going to let Willem explain this for us.
Of all, you have to restrict access, you know. They have to find out who had access to his vehicle, because that's one of the ways. Secondly, there are some techniques that are being used where they can detect radio frequencies that are being emitted, because this thing keep on emitting frequencies, so it can be swept and it can be picked up but that is sophisticated. That for that you will need some specialized equipment to do that. The police have got it, for instance. You know, they do some what we call RF sweeping. So I think they will have to look at that in order to, you know, if I would advise people in the position of Mr. Dereiter, I would most definitely sharpen up my security, and also include RF sweeping as well as explosive sweeping, for before you use the vehicle, because that's a common method of assassination, if they would like to assassinate him. We don't say they want to, but that is just one of the precautions they can.
That's not scary at all.
Yeah. No, it's terrifying. Sure. And Willem Els spoke, for example, on what we saw in the Cape around Shalkinia and his death. And so, yes, here we're talking a whole different level of criminality, capacity, technology, really, really dangerous stuff.
I'm just horrified that there might be criminal networks. And I'm going to use the word might there because I have to. You know, there might be criminal networks that are willing to shut down the entire country, turn off all our power just to keep making money and, you know, the rest of us be damned.
Yeah. And this is the implication of something like state capture. So as much as we get fatigued with this, we've heard this so much, we kind of, and they literally talk about corruption fatigue. Also is moeg. Maar die implikaties is baie, baie werk.
It's The Drive with Robin Ross. Jacaranda FM.